The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Hello, welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network on this tremendous Tuesday. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we are super happy to be back here. And Stephanie, good job. You remembered A, the day, and B, the name of the show. Oh, you wrote it down. Excellent. Good job.
Crib notes.
Oh, goodness. That says something, doesn't it, when you have to write down where you are, what day it is, what you're doing.
There's just been so much going on that it's hard for me to concentrate on any one thing because my head is like going this. It's chaotic energy. There's a lot of chaotic energy, I think, right now. And it's not good for me, for sure. You know, what is Mercury in retrograde? Has that happened to me right now?
No, not for a while. Not that I
remember. I just went out of retro, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So that's why I was crazy the last few weeks. So now it's just kind of settling down.
It was a while back. It was in February. Well, yeah, I guess it ended in the March 9th,
yeah.
I believe. So it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
About a week ago.
You know, I've purposely the last year or so not kept track of Mercury in retrograde to see if I would, you know, just have these symptoms. And sure enough, because how many weeks now have you been saying to me, wow, you just can't get it? Because my head is just everywhere, you know. There you go. Communication and Mercury.
That's right.
Well, anyway. So how are you?
Good. It's been good.
And we have, you know what, I know we'll talk more, but Kristen Barton is on with us tonight, and she's the one that popped in and said, we just got out of Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. So we're excited for our original team back tonight.
Oh, the trio is back.
Yeah.
I love
it. Good stuff. What have you been up to, Steph?
Just all kinds of stuff. You know, I was out with the Squatchers on set. Beautiful day to be in the woods. Oh my God. It was like 60 above and gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So it was fun to see the girls. And you know, I've just been kind of hanging, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So how about you?
Yeah. You know, same. It was beautiful this weekend. Saturday was awesome. And, so, yeah, it was a good day to get out, get some things done, and, you know, I've been busy lately, which is good, busy with work, and I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, or maybe it was some other thing I was talking about, but I've been getting a lot of calls from people all over the place, all over the country, and I don't know what that's coming from, but that's fine, and I'm happy to help. One of the things, though, that I thought was interesting is a contact that, and this happens every once in a while, and I'm sure, you know, once Kristen joins us, she could probably agree, or you don't have to, I'm not telling you what to say, but you might agree, let's put it that way, that there are some people that just don't want to be helped, no matter what's going on. You just can tell by the way that they share what's going on, and then the advice that you give or the guidance that you give them and then what they say in response is like they really don't want to be helped no matter what's going on. And it can be horrible and they just don't want to be helped. So they don't necessarily see that. I will say that they wouldn't agree with me if I said you don't want to be helped. So I don't say it like that. But I don't think they want to be helped, and no one is going to be able to help them because that's their story, and that's what keeps them going, their story that they tell, and I don't know if that's all they think they have, but anyway, it's sad because it's not a fun existence for some of the things that are happening, and so, but it's interesting once you really dig into it that, you know, some people just don't, they don't want to be helped, and that's too bad because what they're dealing with is not fun. It's horrible.
So,
so I've been dealing with some of that a little bit here, and you know, it's tough because you want to help people and you want to show them, hey, let's walk together in this. I can show you how to get through this. And they, oh, this isn't working. I don't want to do this. Oh, that doesn't sound like it'll do anything. You know, things like that. And it's like, well, let's just give it more than 30 seconds, you know, because you, it took longer than 30 seconds to get here. So let's, you know, take a mindful approach to this. And anyway, so it's hard. It's frustrating because you want to help people. And I'm not saying everything I do is going to help everybody. That's not how it works. But there are times where you know you could help someone and they just, they start fighting you partway through it. And it's like, wait a minute. I thought you wanted help. And then you think, oh, maybe they don't really want help because they lose their story that they feel is what defines them and gives them something to talk about or a purpose or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I don't get it. But anyway, it is, it's too bad.
Yeah, it is. But they're, but that is, they are out there for sure. You know, they call you and, oh, we want you to help. But then they go and they do the same. They do the thing that you tell them not to do. You know what I mean? So obviously they don't, like you said, maybe it's their only thing they have to talk about and they don't want to lose it, you know, because it's theirs. But anyway, well, Kristen, jump in the conversation. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty decently, all said, in these crazy times. And I'm sorry I popped in. We had been visiting a little before we came on and I forgot that, you know, we needed to be formal, so I'm sorry.
Oh, it's
A-okay. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because, you know, for the last, I don't know if I've told you, probably not, but for the last year or so, I have not been tracking Mercury retrograde because I think sometimes if you know what's happening, then you wonder if everything is related to Mercury retrograde, right? And so, but this just fits. This just fits. Like for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, I've been just a little out there. You know, Karen keeps saying, you're always out there lately, Steph. What's your issue? Well, now that could be a big part of it, right? So anyway, I'm glad we're out of it.
We've had, there's been so much planetary sleep radio edit happening this last year that the energy has been really wild and it's been like a roller coaster ride for everybody.
Oh, chaotic. And lately the chaotic energy has just been, you know, and it really affects me. Can I just say, it just really gets me crazy. So no wonder.
Well, there are some things that you can do. Like for me, because I'm an emotional intuitive, and I believe Heidi, you are too, and I think Stephanie, you are also. I wear certain jewelry meant to ground me during certain times, and as a matter of fact, I've got my big ancient amber piece on right now that I've been wearing for most of the day, but I wear a lot of jet, a lot of, you know, the black stones in general are very grounding. Kind of doing some experimentation about, like, things like certain oils that help you ground, certain gemstones that help you ground, or ritual things that you can do to ground yourself. I have to do that or I lose my mind.
Oh, yeah, I do that, too. I do that, too. And, you know, I even, when the snow first started melting, Kristen, I was out in my backyard because I found a patch of muddy earth, and I went out there and took my shoes off and my socks, and I was barefoot in that mud. Let me tell you, it felt fabulous.
Oh, it was the best?
Cool. Yes, yes. It was squishing between my toes, and then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to walk through the snow to get back in the house because my feet were filthy. Boy, that was the coldest walk I've ever done, let me tell you.
But you were awake.
Felt so good. Yeah, felt so good. Yeah. The trees are another one for me. I always go out and sit with the trees for a while, and that helps. And yeah, I mean, there's lots of things. The stone thing, I need to do that because everybody tells me that, and I certainly have a lot of calming stones and grounding stones. So I for sure, that is a good idea because you can't always put your feet in mud or touch those trees, you know?
Almost always we will stick them in our bras, us ladies who wear bras.
And oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that everyone who's a lady wears a bra, but I wear one and I stick my stones into my bra, and I'll tell you what, it works.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like that. In the bra.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so for a reminder. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so this weekend, actually, is it Friday or Saturday? I don't remember, but
Saturday.
It doesn't matter. It's the spring equinox, the light is overtaking the darkness, finally, because we've been in a darkness situation for such a long time. So, isn't that fun? We're excited.
We are. I am absolutely thrilled beyond belief as a Wiccan witch. I am very, very, you know, purposely connected to the wheel of the year. And when it is a wild ride, and it has been, the light is extra soothing. I mean, there's great stuff to be done in the dark. You know, the dark time of the year is very magical. It's very it's a good time to do personal work, you know, and I've been doing that as much as I can and encouraging others to do it too. But coming out of that shell, and particularly now that a lot of us are getting vaccinated for COVID, so there's that, you know, hopeful looking forward and being saying, you know, we don't have to remain in this holding pattern. We can eventually look forward to more normalcy. It's just beautiful to experience this, and I'm really feeling it hardcore this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
So we can't...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, my coven can't meet quite yet for Ostara, sadly, because most of us won't yet be fully vaccinated. And I will be fully vaccinated by Beltane May 1st or 2nd, but that's not necessarily true for all of us. But Lyfa, the summer solstice, we are planning a raucous party because everybody is supposed to be fully vaccinated by then. So we are going to have the hugest summer solstice party, like in the history of summer solstice parties.
I love
Very
it.
Very happy about that. Yeah.
Sounds like so much fun. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm curious, Kristen, if you have some ideas, because we can't necessarily gather yet. I know some people can if they've, you know, hanging out with their, you know, vaccinated friends and stuff like that, or you've currently been hanging with the people in your bubble, and so you can do that. But what would you recommend for something that's maybe a little pared down to celebrate this upcoming transition this weekend?
So Ostara, yeah. So Ostara, for those who are not familiar, at least in Wicca, I'm a traditional third-degree Wiccan high priestess, Ostara is all about new beginnings, and we also do a lot of, like, blessing our seeds that we're going to be planting, planting our gardens, doing that sort of thing. So it's really, while it's hard when we can't necessarily get together with a lot of the people we want to share with, we can thankfully communicate over social media about, like, what are you planting? This is what I am planting. The people in my community, we plant diverse gardens so that we can share produce. So, you know, I'm trying to plant not just what my family is going to need, but also planting things that my neighbors or the people in my subgroup are not necessarily planting so that we can exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's
is one way that we can feel connected to community. I'm growing some very diverse things this year. My husband got me a whole bunch of really cool, diverse seeds things I've never planted before. I'm planting like the dark purple carrots and the bright red carrots and two different kinds of beets and a bunch of exotic greens and exotic herbs, some of which have, you know, clearly, you know, not just food uses, but are, you know, magically relevant. And so all of us are all at Twitter talking about, like, what am I planting? What are you planting? And how can we, as a community, exchange different produce? And so now is the time for planning all of that. And also there is a lot of magic to be done around manifesting, bringing forth, because, of course, with gardening, you know, we're planning our garden, what we're going to plant. We also plan what we're planting in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. So my coven spiral tour would always do a special egg spell at Ostara. And it worked so well the first year we did it that we kept doing it, and we're all individually doing it still. We would take hard-boiled eggs, and we would dye them with natural dyes like beet juice or turmeric. We'll dye an egg gold, for instance. Now we would take the sacred Sharpies. And yes, I do in fact have a set of sacred Sharpies that are only used for magical purposes. So we haul out the sacred Sharpies and we write on our eggs symbols of everything that we want to bring forth in our lives, what we're planting so that we can reap for the coming year. And then what we do is we do a power raising, which normally is done in coven, where we do it all together. We put all the eggs together and we do a power raising and we send that power into those eggs. We do it individually now, you know, because of COVID. And then we cast those eggs into running living water. And we just really enjoy doing that each year. It feels like a special thing that we do with our coven. And almost without exception, I have personally gotten everything that I asked for that I put into that egg. Mm. That's a very old tradition. It long predates Wicca, which is a 20th century religion, but it's an old witchcraft thing to do. Eggs are used a lot, actually, in witchcraft. So that is a thing that people can do to celebrate this vernal equinox and look forward to a brighter future by, you know, attempting to manifest that which we want to bring forth.
That sounds like a great idea, a great activity. You could do it with your family, you know, at home, or I would imagine too, you could even get some friends together on Zoom or something, you know, and do it together that way if you wanted to do it together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've even seen groups who do feasts with each other on Zoom where they some of them will, if they're living in proximity to one another, drop off a dish at each person's house and everybody drops off so that everybody contributes. Or they all make the same thing and then they eat it together on Zoom as a way of celebrating.
Yeah. Cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's almost over, folks. You know, just gotta hang in there.
We do. We do. Just a few more months, and then we might get back to semi-normal, you know? So.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I just want a hug. You know, I miss hugs so much. It just is, like, killing me. So, you know, whatever. I'll be the mad hugger.
Well, pagans are very huggy, kissy people, so it's really messing with us. I'm really lucky that I live with my husband, and I'm able to be with him. And then Anita and I, who I've done some videos with her on my space on Quora called Real Wicca, she and I have been very close to each other through all of this, so it's almost like we cohabitate. And so her household and my household, we do get together unless one of the grandkids or somebody else has been exposed to COVID, and then we, like, rein it in for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, there are ways, and getting outside, finally, we're having some, not today, but we're having some warmer weather, mm-hmm. right? So getting outside where you're not, your flesh isn't going to freeze in a minute, like, you know, normal Minnesota winter. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, touching the tree. I hug trees. I don't even care if anybody's looking.
I
hug trees.
Mm-hmm.
I lay on the ground as soon as it's not all soupy and nasty. You know, I lay on the ground and talk to Mother Earth. I mean, I'm a tree-hugging, dirt-worshipping pagan.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big part of how I experience my life. I mean, normally at this time we would be having Pan's Feast and also Lucina's Day, two different things that my original tradition of Blue Star does. Lucina's Day is for women only, and it is a women's mystery day that we work with Juno Lucina, or Hera, and her guise as Lucina, and she protects married women. And so we have women's mysteries that we get together, and the men all have to take the children, and we get together and do that. And then we also, well, normally we have Paganicon right now, and I'm really bummed out because it would have been this weekend, and they are doing it virtually. It's normally in St. Louis Park or Plymouth, Minnesota, in a hotel over the vernal equinox, and it's a con that a bunch of us pagans all go to. And sometimes I teach there, but I always attend, and they're doing it virtually this year, and we're looking so forward to attending in person next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're missing all of these things that mark, you know, the milestones of our years. A lot of us are missing things like family reunions. We're missing, you know, the pagan holidays, certainly for me, but, you know, Easter is coming up for Christian people or people who celebrate Easter, and that's going to be, you know, interesting to navigate for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it Rosh Hashanah that is in the spring for Jewish people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm uneducated. Yeah, people are going to have to...
Yeah, Passover leads up to Easter, right? And I think you're right, the Rosh Hashanah... Somewhere in the mix. Yeah.
I apologize if I have blundered. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of holidays that happen now, you know, around now.
Yep.
And people are going to have to really, like, navigate that and decide what risks are prudent and mm-hmm. which ones aren't. But I think by midsummer, we're going to see a lot of that easing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really excited about that. Yes, you know, you can go out and walk around in nature and hug those trees and do those things.
Yeah.
We normally wake the Lord Pan at this time. My tradition draws down Pan and Aphrodite because Pan is awakening from his slumber over the winter. And so we draw them into a priest and priestess, and we have this big celebration where Pan is welcomed back to consciousness, and we feed him and, you know, give him drink, and he's always trying to get around to the priest's rules about how much alcohol he can have. Because he really can. The Greeks can drink. They can drink, but Pan especially can really, like, throw it back. And so he's always trying to get around the priest's rules. But we have this wonderful time where we, you know, we awaken these deities. Well, Aphrodite is always with us, but her maiden form, awakens now, and we have, like, you know, couples come together and enjoy that celebration together. And we're not doing it this year, and it's okay. You know, we can't prudently do it,
mm-hmm.
but it would be so great. I mean, I miss my people. I miss the holidays. And I know everybody, whether you're an atheist or, you know, what religion you are, we all have these holidays that we depend on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not having them, and it really sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's awful, you know? You know, my mm-hmm. family is very tight-knit, and for the last, you know, year, not much, you know, not much action going on. You know, in the summer, we would all get together outside, distance, you know, but then when the cold weather came in, it was like, okay, see ya, you know, and I really miss them, you know, so yeah, hopefully everybody can get vaccinated so everybody's not scared of each other and then, you know, life can get back to normal.
So when it was warm recently, my husband and I sat outside at a restaurant for the first time in 8 months.
Oh, and
that was so wonderful. We went to, okay, I'm not going to plug them. I'm not going to say their name, but there's a really cool restaurant in Anoka that is famous for their wings. And so we went, and they have gluten-free options because it shatters my body. But they have a bunch. And so we had some hard cider. We had some wings. We sat outside, and it was so glorious.
Yeah.
To even just eat out, you know, mm-hmm. and not be breathing in a closed space with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. So looking forward to all this, getting to get back together with people and, you know, hugging and kissing and all those good things that we love to do. And, you know, wow, sure missed it. For sure. So Heidi, were you going to, did you want to ask Kristen anything? I know at the break. So I thought,
I know we're at almost the break and I'm listening to some of the stuff that Kristen's talking about. And I'm just in my head. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, well, that doesn't work for radio, but I also don't want to just interrupt by saying, yeah, cause I just, yeah. I hear what you're saying and I feel it. And I think we're all, you know, looking forward to this energy of emergence, you know, and mm-hmm. it really is like we've been in the cave. You mentioned the cave, and the cave is of winter is amazing, but it's kind of like we've been in the cave for over a year. And So I think there's so many people that are ready to emerge from the past year. And that just feels, it's almost kind of scary, you know, to think of emerging just because we've been tucked away for the most part for so long and living in this place of uncertainty and not sure, you know, what's coming and going and whatever. So yeah, it feels like this year is kind of a big deal, you know, moving into this energy of emergence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we've learned so much, I think, culturally and as individuals and as subgroups, you know, what is happening for me at least, is that I am learning even more gratitude. And gratitude is a big part of my past, but the gratitude for those simple things mm-hmm. that we all took for granted, being able to go have coffee with a friend at a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is going to feel like Christmas, man.
Oh, like, instead of just going through the drive-thru at Starbucks, now we can actually go into Starbucks and have a coffee with somebody. That's just
right.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh. And I don't know when they're going to open.
That is magical.
Yeah, I'm hoping soon. I know I actually went into Starbucks this morning on the way to work because I went into the office, which I only go there once or twice a week now. But because I wanted a pour over, you know, and you can only go in to get those. And I said, when are you guys going to open up the seating area here so we can, you know, come in with a friend, you know? And they said, we have no idea. I'm like, oh, seriously. So, yes, you're right.
It will come, though.
Yeah, I just can't wait.
It will come.
It will. It will, for sure.
And that's going to be really glorious.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know what? I think it's not quite the half hour, but since we're at a good point, I think we should go ahead and do the break. So everyone, this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Joy that she brings. Praise to the earth, let all the creatures now sing. Hope is renewed with the coming of spring. voice and the wise crone within. Return to the maiden and creation begin. It's a time for things growing, a time now for flowing, time now for sowing the seeds of your dream. So praise to the spring, praise to all living things, praise to the maiden and the joy that she brings, praise to the earth, let all the creatures now sing. Hope is renewed with the coming of the spring. The heart fires are stirring with the new life returning. It's time now for learning what rebirth truly means. And we honor ourselves and all the...
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And we have Kristen Barton with us tonight, Wiccan High Priestess Extraordinaire. And we're talking about Ostara and all things magical in our spring emergence here. So we're excited to have you on, Kristen.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be here. Really enjoying any time I can come back and talk with the folks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is, it's crazy. It's crazy times, you know, but astrologically, I have heard from witches who are way more talented than I am regarding astrology, that there is a lot of planetary stuff afoot that has not happened since the end of the Dark Ages.
Oh, wow.
And also when the Black Death was vanquished in our world.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so that's very edifying. Like, we have a lot of energy that we can ride right now.
Mm-hmm.
As witches, but as people, you know, as spiritual beings, to be able to ride that newness, the new energy. And interestingly, let me see, I'm on my laptop here because I brought up something. Oh, now it's going to make me jump through hoops so I can see what it says. Hang on. There we go. So March 21st, which is Ostara, officially it is exactly the first quarter of the lunar cycle. So right now we are a waxing crescent. Mm-hmm. We're going to be exactly first quarter at 9:40 a.m. on March 21st. And then we're heading toward the full worm moon on March 28th. So it's very much, you know, the blossoming of the new, not just in the land, but in our hearts, in who we are. And taking this break that we are forced to take, it's an opportune time to sit with oneself and go, okay, but what do I want to be? You know, what do I want to bring forth for real? Because now everything is being brought forth. And the energy is that of uncovering. You'll notice the corruption in government is being uncovered daily, mm-hmm. hourly, minute by minute. We have all of these things being uncovered, being addressed. Things that have been hidden in darkness are being illuminated
mm-hmm.
right now. And so what do we want to illuminate as we emerge? How do we want to remake ourselves, our lives, and all the components of our lives? It is an opportunity to really use that energy and make some changes that we really want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I would call that witchcraft, because everything that I do is witchcraft. When I make dinner, it's witchcraft. That doesn't mean that when somebody else who isn't a witch makes dinner, it's witchcraft. But witchcraft is about daily life. It is about what we manifest, what we want to create. It is about creating. It is about, like, you know, even when you sweep your floor, that is an act of magic if you do it with a magical intention.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do we want to become? You know, and whether or not people identify as witches, they still have the opportunity to ride this energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is my friend Ladora and I are helping out a friend of ours who's a psychic who's going through a new kind of training for shamanic through the Four Winds Society. And so she's practicing on us. And so we have our homework and we had three intentions that we had to talk about. And so this is a great time to, you know, start this with all this new energy coming in with the spring equinox. So yeah, what a good thing to do.
Exactly. You know, I've had people, it's interesting, I've been online a lot because everybody has, and I've had people be, you know, they'll say, witches don't exist, witchcraft doesn't exist, and then I'll say, well, you know, real world witchcraft is not what you see in the movies, it's not what you read in the novels. Real mm-hmm. world witchcraft is actually far more based in reality. And it's about things like connection to the earth. Now, granted, you can mm-hmm. connect to the earth without being a witch. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But witchcraft is about living in the present and mm-hmm. manipulating energy to bring forth that which we care to bring forth for the benefit of ourselves and others. And when I talk about real-world witchcraft, it's funny because then people would be like, what you're describing isn't witchcraft, then. Because if it's just, you know, paying attention to the seasons and, you know, planting things when the farmer's almanac says it's the best time to plant things and, you know, doing that, then that's not really witchcraft. And it's like, okay, but it is, though.
Mm-hmm.
It is witchcraft. And when you are a witch, everything you do is your craft. When mm-hmm. I was cleaning out my temple room today to welcome family for a short time moving in, that's still a temple room. It's still a sacred space. And I was hearing from all of my deities. I was moving the altar, the static altar that I have from the temple room downstairs to where it used to be in the upstairs temporarily. And all of my gods were chattering at me. And I shouldn't say chattering. That's kind of disrespectful. They were all very willing to speak with me. And they were all saying, you know, this too is witchcraft. What you are doing, you are behaving like the All Mother, and my first matron is Aphrodite, and one of her guides is Aphrodite Urania, who is the All Mother, and she is pleased because I'm welcoming one of my children, and my adult child, who's handling a lot of burdens right now very gracefully, back into my home for a little bit with her little girl, and this too is my witchcraft, you know. It is all witchery when you are a witch, and it is not the things that people think at all. It is very mundane, but it is the act of making the mundane spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like what, when we've talked about witchcraft before, one of the things you've said is like spells. You know, even when we say, oh, I hope, you know, wish for this cooking to turn out well, it's a little kitchen spell, isn't it? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So speaking of cooking, we have a question in the chat room for you, and it's from Sherry. And she was asking about, we're talking about the spring energy and Ostara, and she said, are there any warm or hot foods? And I'm going to throw in just recipes in general that you recommend for welcoming spring. And then she puts as a side note, either temperature or spicy when it comes to warm or hot. Do you have anything that you would recommend or that you personally like to make that goes with the season?
Well, I tend to have, I have a vast array of things that I like to cook. And actually one of the things that I do to welcome the warmer weather rather than using the warming spices, I tend to go the other direction and I will make a cold gazpacho soup because it is finally warm enough to eat a cold soup and not need the warming to enter my body and keep me warm in the winter. So for me, spicy, warm, you know, stick to your rib stuff, that's fall and winter. And then when it gets warmer, I change to lighter foods. So I'm serving more salads, more light stir fries with, say, shrimp, and lots of veggies. And I do like to get produce from the store that I'm planning on planting as a way of reminding myself of how these beautiful vegetables actually taste. And, of course, we get them from various parts of the world where, you know, we're all in Minnesota here. So clearly the ground is still frozen for us, but, you know, I'm getting, you know, veggies from various parts of the world. And so I start cooking with summer veggies to remind myself of how beautiful that growing and harvesting season can be. And so, like I say, gazpacho, stir fry, salads, light fare. The other day I made seared scallops in an Irish bisque. Okay, I don't want to toot my own horn, but that stuff was 5-star. Okay. Like I got it off the internet, but I was like, this woman, whoever developed this recipe, man, yeah, she's amazing. And it was tomato based, seafoody, you know, which to me, I eat a lot more fish in the summertime. So like shifting the diet away from that heavy stuff that keeps you warm, you know, the heavy breads, the dark ales, the heavy soups with all the meat and the beans and the, you know, stick to your ribs type stuff that you need in the winter gives way to the lighter fare of the warmer season. So, yeah. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong to do what, is it Sherry? Sherry said, you know, warming things. If that is what works for Sherry, then Sherry should use the warmer spices. Because just because what I do works for me, it doesn't mean that it's wrong to use the spices in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I get what Sherry is saying too, because, you know, like what you're saying about calling in the vegetables of the upcoming season, you know, we may not have access to grow them yet here or harvest them, but we have access to them, thankfully, because of our world food network. And, you know, to call those in now so that we can, you know, celebrate that they're going to be coming in this area at some point in the near future. But I also, I like the idea, and I guess I do this to some degree where Sherry is talking about spicy, because I love spicy food. I love it. And I grow peppers, spicy peppers in my garden. And so I do feel that pull personally to work with more of the spicy peppers as I get in the spring, because I think I'm probably doing the same thing you're talking about, Kristen, where you're calling in some of the upcoming, you know, garden bounty, you know, and saying, hey, I'm getting myself ready for some spicy food, and, you know, making different kinds of, you know, things, just anything with that spice that kind of makes me feel like summer. I like that hot food in summertime for whatever reason. I don't know. But so I see both of them. Both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about the food all the time. You know what I mean? So, and I grew very spicy peppers last summer, and I still have a few of them left that I dried. And so I'm using them up, and I saved the seeds now. Granted, I bought, like, regular market seeds, so I don't know. They're not listed as heirlooms, so I don't know if when I put them in the cups in the soil, if they're going to germinate or not. But I'm going to attempt to germinate the seeds from the peppers that I grew last year. I also have new seeds for them as well in case they don't germinate. But yeah, I love me some spicy stuff. And something else that I like to do along about this time all through the summer is that I like to pickle stuff. I like to make refrigerator pickles. I'm also very into like canning things. So once I'm able to have tomatoes that I've grown, I'm going to make me some spaghetti sauce to can. And just, you know, moving forward, not just to the summer, but to what comes, even after that when we're laying up stores for winter again. But with all of the joy and the succulence of the warm weather, the warm period, and eating spicy food in the summertime, think about it, it makes us sweat. It also can invigorate the libido, I'm just going to say that, which is very part of the coming of the warmth for the Wiccan Wheel of the Year. You know, having that spicy stuff in the heat actually assists us in some ways to stay cooler, but also to enjoy the heat.
Yeah, that's true. And there, it's healthy. I mean, there's some health properties, too, to have the spice factor. If you can, if it, I mean, not for everybody, I would imagine, but for a lot of people it is. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So what can just your average Joe do on the spring equinox to, you know, celebrate the spring equinox and thank Mama Earth and all of those things? Something that's easy, simple, anybody can do.
Well, you know, we already talked about the egg spell. You can certainly do that. It's impossible to mess it up.
I really like that one.
You know, actually. Yeah, it works really well. Like, I've always had good success with it. But it's also about connecting. It's that connection where you're saying, you know, the egg is a symbol of fertility. And we're dyeing it with natural dyes and we're putting symbols on it that we like to use. And we throw it into living water because the water is now moving again, right? It's not frozen anymore. But also understanding that any place of balance is a liminal space. Okay, so the equinoxes, both vernal and autumnal, are when the light and dark are equal. Okay, this means you're standing in a doorway. You are neither in one room nor the other room. You are in the middle, in between one place and another place. This is a place of power. It is very, very powerful to be between one space and another space because you can choose to go in any direction. You can choose what you want to manifest. You can choose your step. And really understanding that now is a time for being planful. If the sky's the limit and you want to create the most beautiful possible life for yourself, now is the time to say, what would that look like? And maybe even write it down. Maybe even make lists, you know, what are the things that it would make my soul sing to do this year? What do I want to plant and harvest in my life? Making those lists, the lists and the written word can be used in so many different types of magic. You can write it and burn it to send it to the gods or to your god or to the ether if you are agnostic or atheist. You can use that writing in various, you know, hoodoo spell jars. You can be as elaborate or as simple as you wish to be with that manifestation. But words are powerful. Words are seeds that we plant by speaking them. Words carry weight. So being mindful of what words am I using? What words am I using in my self-talk? And how is that bringing forth that which I want to bring forth? What words am I using that are inhibiting me from bringing forth that which I want to bring forth? Self-talk is a big deal. What we say to ourselves, you know, that is magic. I realize that people are like, well, no, you know, that's not witchcraft. It is. It is witchcraft. That which we say to ourselves and others has weight. So beginning to use your words that way as seeds that you're planting.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking when you were talking just now, I started getting lost in my thoughts again, which I love the conversation because I'm totally going down my own little path here in my head, which, again, doesn't work for radio. But you know, I'm thinking about, you know, call, like what you want to call in and what you want to, you know, path that you want to take or path that you want to set for your life. And I'm thinking of, you know, really, because I have to plant my garden this week. I'm planting the seeds. I got to get that going. I'm a little late in the game for some of it, but I want to get that going. And I'm thinking about the intentions that I can set with other things while I'm doing that, you know, to really, like, you know, the act of planting and doing actual planting with seeds and dirt and setting intentions for the rest of the summer, the rest of the year, this next cycle, whatever, you know, feels like a really good match, you know, that you're doing something physically and energetically and with intention, and it's all coming together and that energy is all matching each other. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to do that. It's not just going to be about planting and thinking about the garden. It's going to be about what else do I want to plant in my life that I would love to see come to fruition while I'm doing this act of planting my seeds and getting my garden ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in my coven, what we have often done at OSTAR is we do an herb or seed divination. So we match, we put a little card in with seeds or an herb that says what the metaphysical properties are. And then when you pick out of the bag, you do so blindly, there's like a divination there. So like, let's say you pick out, you know, cardamom seeds. And it'll say, you have selected cardamom, which is an herb of passion. So when you plant these cardamom seeds, you will grow passion in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing the metaphysical properties of the things you're planting and thinking of those things as you are putting those seeds in the ground is a very simple and beautiful way to metaphysically jumpstart the energies that you're trying to jumpstart while you're planting your garden.
Yeah, that's true. And I do have a book of, it's a metaphysical plant book. I've had it for a long time. It's old. And yeah, you can look up the different plants. It could be trees, fruits, vegetables, weeds, whatever it is. As long as it's growing, it's probably in there. And it gives you the metaphysical properties of that. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that with my plants as I get my little seeds ready. I'm going to look up each one and write down some of the properties that, because some of them have so many properties, but I'll just pick out a couple that resonate for each one and then focus those intentions as I'm planting my little seeds. That's a good idea.
I like it.
Yep.
I like it.
And being in tune with the seasons, is a very spiritual experience, even if the concept of the divine doesn't enter into a person's practice. When you connect with what the earth is doing, I mean, we are all part of the body of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the earth's children, whether or not you want to see the earth as the goddess Gaia or, you know, you don't, we are still part of the body of that that being is alive. And so to attune oneself to the seasons that exist locally where we are is to become even more mindful of being a child of the plant. When we do that, things, we get gifts. I've always gotten gifts whenever I have consciously attuned myself to the earth.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about all this and kind of put it together. And it does, it's got my wheel spinning for sure, you know, because I had a couple of ideas, but this expands this, you know, expands what I was thinking. So I appreciate the ideas and the seed planting that you did, Kristen, pun intended.
And you're talking about morning doves, but, you know, we've had a lot of crows hanging out in our yard the last few days. There must have been 24 of them out there yesterday.
Big ones. Okay,
for those of you that aren't in the chat room, Stephanie's referencing the chat room.
Oh, sorry.
So all of a sudden it was like,
I am.
Hard left, morning doves. I'm like, whoa, where'd you go,
I'm sorry, Kristen.
That's like, cool.
In the chat room on that
no.
one.
Yeah. Yeah, chicken.
Corvids are wonderful.
Yes. Yes. I love them. I love them for sure.
Me too.
And we've had a lot of morning doves as well. And ducks, you know, I just have a plethora of animals in my yard. It's just really amazing. So, yeah, fun stuff.
Lots to think about.
It is lots to think about. I know. I've been pretty quiet listening because, you know, you're like you said, Heidi, the wheels are turning. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, blah, 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 all this. But make sure, everyone, that you spend some time outside on the spring equinox and just, you know, revel in that earth energy for sure. If you don't do anything else, do that, you know, because that's put your bare feet in the mud. It's really amazing. It's very energizing and grounding, and it just is a feel-good thing. So tomorrow night, I'm going to do the plug for the Calling radio show. It's on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. right here on the Para X. And the three paranormal investigators, Jerry, Willow, and Kim, are going to be talking about places they have investigated that they will never go back to and Ooh. The stories. So that should be a good one. Kind of scary. Karen's saying cranes aren't here yet. They are here, though. We heard several this past Saturday when we were out in the woods. So that's really cool. But, yeah. So it's spring is coming. Normalcy is only a step away. So, Kristen, is there anything you want to say? We have about 4 minutes left to, you know, to round out the show.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm just so excited for everyone because we are all, like Heidi said, emerging, and that emergence is so underscored right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to sink into that energy of emerging
Yes. Is
so powerful. And yes, we've done the long haul, and yes, we're all exhausted, and yes, we're all tired of being alone. But we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We see this warmth coming, and soon we will be able to safely gather. So, you know, good job, everybody. And this is a time to really, like, revel in your anticipation mm-hmm. of that time because mm-hmm. it's so close. So rather than being like, oh, you know, it's another 6 weeks. I just don't know if I can do it. Like, you know what? It's only going to be a few more weeks.
Yeah.
And then all of this will be a bad memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we will all be together again, and we can all, like, take vacations. I'm so going to Cancun, y'all. I'm so going to Cancun.
Yeah. Like, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. So, Movie in the chat room is saying, ah, crud, now I have to buy new makeup and clothes.
You do. You yeah. totally do.
Because we've been living in sweats and no makeup and, you know, crappy hair for how long now? So,
a year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no kidding.
But, you know, what's interesting is that I've been able to go out. I go out without makeup now. I never would have done that. And it's very
yeah.
freeing. It's like, I don't care
too.
If I look like shit. Oh, excuse me. Schmidt.
Beep.
Schmidt.
Because everybody else is too. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the other thing. I really don't think, I think this has been kind of a nudge for the new normal. I think a lot of people, if they can work from home, I think it's going to be a hybrid workplace. I think people will work from
yeah.
home maybe 2/3 of the time and in office 1/3 of the time. So honestly, I
yeah.
really can't see some of these freedoms going away, like the ability to just wear leggings all day, you know,
right.
most times,
yeah,
you know, or not put on the mascara, you know, or, you know, don't take a shower one day because it's not going to kill you, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of think it's been liberating in a lot of different ways, you know. So
Yeah. It has. Yeah. I'm excited for the new normal.
I know. But it would be fun to buy new makeup and new clothes, too, I got to say. So let's do that, too. So.
Well, that's our cue, though. We got to, you know, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, ladies and everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. If the troops are listening, God bless you. Thank you for being there for us, and be safe.
Yes. And everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for your contributions. Everybody listening, wherever you are, we appreciate you. Para X, thank you so much for hosting us. And Sarge, our most amazing producer, the one and only fantastic, wonderful, best producer ever. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And we're looking forward to seeing you all next week. Yep. So take care and stay healthy.
Make it a good one. Thank you.